Acts 10:38. There were times when I remember early in my salvation and I began reading the Gospels for the first time in my life and the book of Acts. And so much I felt like I had missed in the first 33 or 34 years of my life, not knowing the Lord. And so it became like this book became a source where I would go because there was a new hunger inside of me that I didn't even know was possible. And it went beyond popsicles and ice cream, I can tell you. But I have it in the King James. And I also wrote some notes in here because there would be some that would think we're preaching heresy when I'm going to go with the words after we read the verse together. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? Remember the people that said that? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And without changing the scripture, over the years I've come to realize that those of us in the body of Christ have also been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So I didn't think it was stretching it too far because I put in my Bible how God anointed Rick of Chester with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with me. And sometimes I find it really helpful, because God is no respecter of persons, that you see yourself in verses of Scripture, not taking anything away from Jesus, not taking anything away from what God has done. But you also have been anointed by God. Each and every believer, there's a ministry, there's a call, there's a tugging, there's a pull, there's a gift, there's a skill, there's a talent, a ministry, because that reflects the nature of your Heavenly Father who dwells by His Spirit on the inside of each one of us. And some interesting things about what Jesus did. Notice it says, He went about doing good. That's really important, because for people who don't understand, and I didn't either before salvation, I didn't really know what good he did. I rejected all the people that told me he was good to my demise, and it was a loss to me. But it isn't anymore. And I think about all through the scriptures, in the New Covenant particularly, how each of us are called to do good works. Not to gain God's favor, but because we already have it, and His life is now being lived through each one of us via the Holy Spirit. So everything that the Spirit does is going to be good. It's going to glorify the Lord. Sometimes our flesh may get in the way, but we have to learn to subdue it when it rises up and wants to take the credit for something. We share our blessings in our testimonies together, but we don't go out in public and do that and brag, unless we brag on the goodness of the Lord and what God is doing. And I looked a little further about this, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And scriptures came to my mind, John 10:10, the thief comes, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you have life, and that you have it more abundantly. And you contrast the two. And then I think it's in 1 John, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so part of going about and doing good is being available. I know we can't be at the same place at the same time and meet everybody's needs. We just can't. There's so many needs around us all the time, and people are looking. They're looking for people that will be good to them, that will be kind to them, that will show mercy, that will show compassion, that will show the Lord's goodness. Sometimes one sentence and a checkout line in the store is a gospel all in itself, and we overlook sometimes even the small things that mean a lot to somebody else. And I did a little study on this word oppressed, and I was quite taken in by the impact of that word. Number one, it doesn't come from the Lord. God's our deliverer. The oppressor is the one who squashes us down and presses us, or puts us under the influence, or is controlled. The enemy does that. And the spirit of oppression comes from Satan, not of God. And some of the fruit of that, how does oppression come? How does it manifest? Because this is really helpful to us. I'm always looking for the tools that God has given us, not only to live a supernatural life in a natural body, but just in general for everyday life. Because as long as we're still in these earth suits, we still have an opportunity to make a difference. Persecution, abuse, mistreat others with an overpowering spirit, lording over them, bullying, controlling, coercion, argumentative, always got to be combative. And that pushes people down. It makes them feel like they have no value. It makes them feel like they have no worth. And if you read the Gospels, and you read them as many times as you can, it's amazing how Jesus ministered not only to groups of people, but to the individual. He cared about the one. And I'm very appreciative of that, because in my time of need, he cared about the one. I was the one. You were the one in your time of need, and he cared about you, and he wanted to free you from being squashed, pressed down. I know a lot of you personally, and over the years you've shared things about your life, and they stay between you, God, and me. I'll go to the grave with a lot of secrets. But you know, it's wonderful what the Lord has done. Pressing or squashing down with discouragement, hopelessness, despair, sickness, disease, infirmities. You see it all around us. And sometimes people just need to know there really is a devil. I'm tired of people saying God does all this stuff. And I have every opportunity to let people know that he's real. He's defeated, but not in the lives of people who aren't saved yet. And we're learning together, but also individually, to do battle on their behalf, to come against that spirit of oppression that holds people. Gosh, you see it. People, you know, Karen talked about all of the activities out on the sidewalks in the town of Chester yesterday. And you see people out and about again. But you also see, if you look a little deeper, the lines of concern for their families. And it's not all happy and roses. It's like, you know, the face that people put on sometimes. They're really a lot of hurting people. And I think of how the Holy Spirit gives us a sensitivity of that and an awareness of that. And to every time you see the opportunity to do good to somebody for no reason, just because. Sometimes I like to call it just because. You know, Jesus done good to us. I love the testimonies in Africa on a missions trip. And they shout and jump and beat goatskin drums, and it's so loud you can't even hear yourself talk hardly. And there's just plank, old board benches that they sit on, but it's all dirt on the floor. And where they jump up and down, and there's just ruts in front where their feet have compacted that dirt into ruts with the excitement and the joy of their salvation. And one after the other, they'll say, "I'm Sister Sally, and the Lord's been doing me good." You know, and just giving credit to our good God who's good all the time. And just that excitement of, "I'm saved. I'm saved, and the Lord's been doing me good." Oh, if you can't get excited about anything else, think of yourself before salvation. And now look at what you've got. Look at what he's done. Look at the package that came with him. Aren't you glad that Jesus of Nazareth, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, visited you? You had a divine appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he personally interceded and gave his life for you because of the love that he has for you and the appreciation and how respectful he is of one's life. He doesn't violate our will. He doesn't rule by force. We seal our own doom if we're foolish enough to ignore it until we take our last breath, and then it's too late to realize what we lost. And you compare oppression from the enemy with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. So you see the contrast between who does what. And I find it needful to oftentimes, in some of my own personal things that I like to read and I like to study, I just love the way Jesus ministered to people. He didn't like the religious system, but he realized it was his Father's, had it set up that way. But people always abuse if they have an opportunity, if their heart is not right to serve the Lord. They can abuse their privileges and lord over people. But Jesus is the one that came to set us free from oppression, heartbreak, hurts, wounds, things that people spoke over your life years ago that are still there, and you just kind of cover them over, but you can be so free. Words go deep and they wound. They're just like, remember the old saying in school, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Wow, were we deceived. You know, because now we understand, we realize that words mean everything. Words are life or words are death. And Jesus always spoke of himself as being the truth. If you ever want to know the truth, get your swords out. That is the truth. The world has no absolute truths anymore. That's another way that people get free. They get set free by knowing the truth. So today, just think about our lives. Think about why we're here as a lighthouse to the people passing by on the highway. And many times we've had opportunities, sometimes like the tables downstairs. I didn't do it without permission of our board members. I don't like to do something out of order. I left one table down there, so if there's any kids that go downstairs for Sunday school, there's a table and a few chairs. And today, We have lots of chairs, and we don't need a table up here. We got Gary's track table and his good food over there. That's the only one we need today. Just doing and being available when people have needs. These people don't even go to church. They don't have any church affiliation. And yet, in their times of need, people in the community turn to their local churches for help. Why do they do that? Because they have an expectation that the church community represents something that in their time of need, they can come. They may not even come to the building, but they know that they can come to each one of us. And so I like the fact that we are patterned after Jesus. We have his spirit, we have his character, we have his nature, we have his attributes, we have his motivations. There's such a likeness. We won't be him, nor could we ever be, but we're taught to be like him so that we put a face on the scriptures. And when people see us wherever we are, it's important that they see him in us. They might not be able to say, ah, that's Jesus in that person, because they might not be saved, but they will see the good that you do. And I can just say, to encourage you, as Paul did, to encourage you that you grow in grace, you grow in knowledge, you grow in understanding, you grow in wisdom, you grow in love, and grow in all that he's gifted you to do and all that he's gifted you to be. We're in verse 7 of chapter 13. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. There are four sections in there that we'd like to have us have a look at and have a heart to receive this, because it's going to make all the difference as the hearts of people are seemingly getting hardened all around us. And Even believers can get a hardened heart if they're beat on enough, if they're pressed down enough. We need to guard our hearts to protect what the Lord has given us. Love bears all things. Just at my first glance about love bearing something, I get word pictures a lot. I know they're kind of parables, but I get a picture or a vision, if you will, of a really massive construction project. And I think about the steel in the foundation that bears the weight of all that building is above it, to even make it right down to earth, go down, those of you that have basements or cellars, and just look up and see the carrying beams that go across underneath the floor to bear the weight, not only of the building, but all that we would put in the building. And now think of love, God's love, as a carrying beam in your life, able to carry you through the weights and burdens that come upon us sometimes in life. And you'll get a little picture of how this love will carry you through, no matter what circumstances look like. It also means to protect, by covering. In 1 Peter 4:8 talks a little bit about that, but it basically, if you're covering or bearing on behalf of another person, you don't make it public. You carry it. Agape love will never broadcast or publish the faults of another. It will not lie or deceive others. It simply means that it just will not talk publicly about their faults, except privately with one who can be trusted. And even then, you need to guard your marriages, your relationships within the family, about who you tell what. And the reason I say that is because I have actually seen how all it takes is one other person. They will want to know what's going on so that I can come into agreement in prayer with you. And that's good. But you got to trust the person that you're praying with, because that person can tell somebody else, and then that person tells somebody else. And I've actually witnessed that happening, actually, more times than I'd like to count. If you're burdened to carry somebody, then you can go before the Lord yourself and pray. Don't depend on another person. You don't go around publicly broadcasting somebody's stuff and then look for a prayer partner to spread it a little further, because I know in one instance it got spread 3 times, and by then the person died of a stroke rather than the heart attack we were supposed to be praying about. Be really mindful of this. Not everybody may be where you're walking, and you need to guard. We don't go around and publicly broadcast things about others. See, love covers those things. Love protects them. Love guards them. I have a few examples. A wife or a husband, and they love covering or protecting their mate or child from public knowledge of a drinking problem, maybe a drug problem, marital problems. And the reason that people will carry that and cover that with their love for each other is to avoid bringing shame or reproach to them. If you trust a counselor and you're involved with something like that, it's still a matter of one's trust. And you can't violate that. When someone has entrusted you with their innermost things that aren't public, don't get loose lips, because you know loose lips sink ships. If you have a burden for somebody, keep it between you and them. This is just really good, sound advice, because that's what these words mean. This love will pass by and put up with personal injuries without indulging anger or seeking revenge. These are the qualities of the God kind of love. I mean, can you imagine? Well, you probably can't, but I have a vivid imagination at times. But I just, what if God decided one day, well, I'm just not going to love anybody anymore. I'm just fed up, right up to here with a whole bunch of them. Wipe them out. He almost came to that point. But then Jesus. But then God's grace. But then God's mercy. That's an example for us. Because when we walk in this love, that's what we're doing. I think of people who care for the elderly, or maybe a person in the family that really needs some help. You do it faithfully. You help out of love. And you don't go around and tell everybody. You just do it because it's love and it's the right thing to do. And always remember, we reap what we sow. So if you're sowing love into the life of others, you can be assured that God's going to make sure that love comes back to you through him and through other vessels that he will raise up. You know, I was talking with Gary yesterday, and that was one of the things he said. He said, I don't really want to be here in this hospital. But he said, I had an accident, and now I'm here. But I thank God for the people he put in my life that are gifted and skilled that can help me. And he asked us for prayer. And some of us that were here, when we had our opening prayer, we prayed for him as he had asked. But he realizes, I think one time he realized, I never knew so many Christians worked in hospitals. Because, you know, he grew up with religion. Very strong. If you're not in church on Sunday, what kind of a Christian are you? And a guilt trip was put on him as a kid, as a young man. And that followed him. I don't look for those opportunities so I can go and be in a hospital on a Sunday. But if I were, or in a rehab center, man, I'd want that place filled with Christians. I wouldn't badmouth them if they weren't here. I'd be thankful for them. They're the only Christ that somebody may see that's getting near dying. How much better to have God's people in some of these places instead of ragging on them because they're not in attendance with us. You know, that's what religion starts creeping in when we start thinking like that. But this love bears all things. It covers those areas so that you can love and protect and cover the lives of others. The second part, when I wrote this, I speak from personal experiences and with others that I'm very much aware of that are walking this tightrope right now. In my family, there were a lot of personal injuries and words spoken at a time when they couldn't help themselves. And instead of taking that and considering the condition of the person and the source through which things came, it was, to this day, there is one who has not forgiven because I was someone's power of attorney for the health care in my family. And that was my mom's choice. And the hatred and the venom that was spewed out from a family member, I can tell you, I am so thankful that I'm a believer, because I probably would have hired a hitman to take. Incognito, show up as the gardener, put some fresh spinach in their salad or something, I don't know. But not to get into the anger and venom and retribution. Because if we really love, as we're called to love, this love will bear us under those kind of pressures. It's we're right almost at the breaking point. This love will carry you through that. It will be your strength right when you need it. It'll hold firm. You know, we're told to hold fast to our profession of faith. It's like mountain climbers depend on a rope when they're hiking or when they're mountain climbing. Well, you know, every day we have a mountaintop experience in a sense with the Lord. But we're to hold fast. That means don't give up. Don't let go. Just when you think you're about to crack like an egg, you won't. If you and I will really realize that our motives in life are to love people as Jesus loved us. And sometimes that's really hard to do because circumstances can be so real and in our face. And even though it may be shocked and pressed hard upon, it will bear up under great pressures. Think about your house in a hurricane. The roof may blow off, but the house is still there. You're the house. And storms of life come upon all of us. What do you have for glue that's going to hold it together? We put mortar between building blocks, concrete blocks. And you know, Andy and I have looked at the foundation when we had it all dug up on that side of the building last year. And took it down to the footings and made repairs. And even in spite of all of the cracks, the church didn't go, whoop. And everybody runs over here, and then it falls back over here. Then that side caves in. It held all these years. And I think about the people who constructed that, one block at a time, with levels. They were skilled. To the point that buildings stand on their foundation. People stand on their foundation. One of the things that I marvel, and this is just among us, I can't speak for anyone else outside of this building, but for us, I don't know any of you that have not gone to the edge because of someone or on behalf of someone, and you didn't lose it and just come apart at the seams, and you were like Humpty Dumpty that fell off the wall and even Jesus couldn't fix you. You know what this love is. So I suppose I'm that phrase preaching to the choir, but you know, I know the day is coming and we're going to be pressed, and we're going to be pressed hard to keep our stand as individuals and maybe even as a fellowship. But if we talk about these things now, we'll remember and we'll be prepared when it's my time to take my stand, when it's your time to take your stand. Because I have a t-shirt that's got the Staples button right in the middle, and it's got Jesus' name on the button, you know, that's Staples logo, if you will, the company Staples. But it's just got Jesus, and beside it, it says it's just that simple. When you've got his love, that's way stronger than our human love, and it will keep you. And as we age, I think we tend to grow more and more rooted and grounded in that. And hopefully the younger generations will look to us as an example. Some of us had parents that didn't set a very good example, but you know, we always had gardens when we were kids, and the responsibility of spending all summer growing what we were going to live on all winter. And I used to think that was really harsh because we had no We had no fun time when school was out. But I sure liked the goodies that were canned and prepared so that we would all have food during the winter months. And a lot of our parents did the same thing. Well, I think of the treasures in God's kingdom. And love is the greatest one. And if we will store that up, we will have plenty to eat in our time of hunger or in our time of need. It'll be there. Love will bear up under great pressures, such as curses, slanders, prison, exile, bonds, torments, and even to the point of death. And I've been to lots of prisons, not as an inmate, only once, and that was only for a week. But I've been many times to do Bible studies. I spent a week in a prison in Elmira, New York, and Marge, you know where that is. That's where the hardcore people go in New York. It's one of the largest prisons that handle those kind of people that are really in trouble. And yet, I felt very safe. I didn't feel like I thought I would. We kept the same classroom, and they would just bring inmates in that wanted to come. But every one of them were in there doing life sentences or many, 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 many years before the sentence was fulfilled. Why would I ever want to go there? In my natural being, I never wanted to do those things. I didn't have any desire to. But now, we're in prison in a lot of ways. If we don't grasp these things, and we let our personality, if you will, or someone else's, get in our face and knock us off our love walk. I don't mean just to preach a love gospel, but everything Jesus did was motivated with love, and that has to be our motive. But to know how strong you really are inside doesn't mean you don't care, doesn't mean you don't hurt, doesn't mean you can't be affected, but overall, it's gonna win the battle. But you know what? The motive is we do it for the sake of others, not ourselves, and that's the difference. I remember when we released our faith for your new car. How you just wanted to bless people. If God would help you get that car, you wanted to use that car to bless people. See, I could talk about that openly because you shared that publicly. And he's kept it.
Both cars.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it doesn't sound like that we would just buy our, I mean, we buy our vehicles out of need and for ourselves, but to have that as a motive to present before the Lord as a way to help people, I could be every moment of every day all the time, trying to be everywhere to help people, but I can't. I'm only one. I can only go one-on-one. But when you have a whole body like-minded, do you realize all the families that you've affected outside of this fellowship? This is just where we come and get recharged and encourage each other, and then we go out. But here, it's a real joy because It's like this is the powerhouse. This is where it happens. And then we go out and as led of the Lord to do the things you do. And they're good things. And it makes a difference in somebody else's life. And even we have the Apostle Paul, who lived the life that he had after he was born again. I can't imagine how difficult it must have been for him to forget what he was like and how he treated Christians until he became one. And all the distrust that when people even heard his name, how difficult in the natural that would have been to get established and be as effective as he was in the hands of the Lord. But I've come to realize if he could do it in the power of the Lord out of a motivation of love, you can't read his letters and not see the love of the Father in them. I always used to read those on the receiving end. But then there was a time in my faith when I started seeing them from the giver's end. What was in the heart of my Father when he wrote that? What was there about that facet of his heart that those words came forth? It wasn't to condemn us. It was to keep us going in a right direction. Well, this love will do that. It'll keep us going in a right direction because it keeps our motives pure. Oh, next week we're going to have some fun with this one. Love believes all things. I'm probably the most gullible person in the room. And next week I'll probably prove it more than once. I'll tell you some of the things I believed out of my innocence for trusting. And maybe, if you'll permit me, how that fell through. Because this is how we learn. Now we take this and learn to apply it. And we got to have, God gives us the grace to walk it out. And we always win. If our attitude is right, our motives are right, we always win. How can you lose? With Jesus, even if you lose, you still got the winner. So I'll stop there for today.